السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Once again, we have our honorable guest, Imam Adil Sahab, who has traveled from all the way from Bradford just to deliver his first out of the
24.
First out of the 24 part 3 creed class session. We start this program with the tilawat of the Holy Quran, and I would like to call Ubaid Chokwala for tilawat of the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
سبحان الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. صدق الله العظيم.
I now would like to call Hafiz Hashim for not.
MashaAllah. Marhaba.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله
سبحان الله
حبيب خدا کا نظارہ کروں میں دل و جان ان پر نثارہ کروں میں حبیب خدا کا نظارہ کروں میں دل و جان ان پر نثارہ کروں میں. میرا دین و ایمان فرشتے جو پوچھے میرا دین و ایمان فرشتے جو پوچھے تمہاری ہی جانب اشارہ کروں میں تمہاری ہی جانب اشارہ کروں میں دمِ واپسی تک تیرے گیت گاؤں دمِ واپسی تک تیرے گیت گاؤں محمد ممجد پکارا کروں میں محمد ممجد پکارا کروں میں خدا ایک پر ہو تو ایک پر محمد خدا ایک پر ہو تو ایک پر محمد اگر قلب اپنا دو پارا کروں میں اگر قلب اپنا دو پارا کروں میں خدا خیر سے لائے وہ دل بھی نوری خدا خیر سے لائے وہ دل بھی نوری مدینے کی گلیاں بہارا کروں میں مدینے کی گلیاں بہارا کروں میں حبیب خدا کا نظارہ کروں میں دل و جان ان پر نثارا کروں میں
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ بسم اللہ والحمد للہ والصلاة والسلام على رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم اللہ رب محمد صلی علیہ وسلم نحن عباد محمد صلی علیہ وسلم honorable and respectable امام الخطیب مسجد ہذا محترم المقام عزت معاب حضرت علامہ رفیق مصباحی صاحب دامت برکاتم العالیہ والقدسیہ honorable and respectable elders, brothers and sisters, students of knowledge, to each and every one of you, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. I hope and pray that each and every one of you are in the best state of iman and health. From the outset, I want to take this opportunity to express my gratitude, as always, to the intizamia of this masjid, the a'imma hazrat, or bil khusus, muhtaram hafiz mu'in sahib zida sharfuhu, for once again facilitating the Principles of Creed lecture here at Masjid Quba. As you can see, through the cover page of the book, which is probably in your right hand or on the bench in front of you, that this is part three of this lecture series, which we started and initiated 2 years ago. So this is the third year of traveling up and down the country, delivering lectures on the principles of creed, Usulul I'tiqad. And again, through the cover page, you'll be able to come to this conclusion, and as it's been advertised as well, that this year's theme is end of times. Last year, I say last year, but I was with you in February when we delivered part two. The very same day I came back from the blessed lands of Al-Quds Sharif. Some of you will remember and recall, and I do remember some of you being there. Part two was themed Our Prophet, Our Honor. How many of you were present for the part two lecture? MashaAllah. Hands down. And then part one, which we delivered here in Masjid Quba, was back in 2022. Bihamdillahi ta'ala wa bi rahmati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama. Since we initiated this lecture series, we have prior to today visited and delivered 54 lectures nationwide, and we have distributed 3,500 books fi sabilillah with over 3,000 brothers and sisters across the country sitting through the 4-hour lecture, be it in 2022 or be it last year, yani the early part of this year. We had no intention whatsoever to print these books. However, one particular brother from Halifax, where I deliver my Friday evening lessons at Jami Masjid Ghosia, Brother Shaban, for the Isari Thawab of his noble father, within 1 week he printed 2,000 copies. This year we were going to fob you off with the PDF version, which you now see on the screen in front of you. And some of you may have received the PDF. No, it's going to be kept in the vault. But nevertheless, you can't beat having the book copy in your hands. And of course, the books are for you to keep. Therefore, you can make notes in them, additional discussions that we will have. If you were to open up the book and go to the contents page, which is the very first page on your left-hand side here, you can see that there are a number of discussions which we haven't previously covered because of a lack of time. Hence why, very quickly, when we were delivering lecture one, yani the first part of the principles of creed, we decided that this has to be a three-part lecture series. So this year, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we're going to be covering the following discussions. And the book has been split into three parts. Part one is in relation to the signs of the last hour. Al-alamatu sa'atu. And in particular, the minor signs, al-alamatu sughra, and the major signs, al-alamatu al-kubra, of the last hour. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, after these introductory words, we will be pressing on and starting with part one here. Hopefully that will take us up to our break time, which is penciled for around 6 p.m. Last time I was here back in July when we went through the Al-Arba'een of Sayyid Muhammad ibn Ja'far al-Qattani, we had samosa during the break time, yes? I remember. Some of you may have joined us on that occasion. So whether it's a samosa today or pakore or whatever else is on the menu, regardless, 6 p.m. is the planned time for the break. Salatul Isha Jama'at will stand at 6:30. And then hopefully after Salatul Isha, we'll be going through part two, which as you can see is quite extensive. During part two, we'll be covering the discussions and our belief in relation to the Day of Judgment, Yawmul Qiyamah, and the description of that day, and those who will be shaded from the heat of the sun on that day, and how long that day will be, as well as the grand intercession, Ash-Shafa'atul Kubra, should I say, on the resurrection ground, and then other discussions regarding the Hisab and Al-Mizan and Asrirat and Al-Hawb and so on and so forth. So that should hopefully take us up to around 8 p.m. And then inshallah Azza wa Jal, if you're still with us at 8 p.m., we'll hopefully go into part 3, which as you can see is regarding our belief in the life after death, what is death, the barzakh, our belief regarding the questioning in the grave, those who will not be questioned in the grave, a brief discussion on Jannat and Jahannam, and then slightly lengthier discussions in relation to the life of the prophets in the grave, Hayatul Anbiya fi Quburihim, and the belief and practice of conveying rewards of our deeds to the deceased, known as Isar al-Thawab. So we have quite a lot to cover. And mashallah, those of you who are with us from the outset, you deserve full applaud. And no doubt you'll receive a maximum reward. As for those who will trickle in when it's at their own convenience, no doubt they'll be rewarded, but not as much. Therefore, it's an opportunity for us to remind our family members and friends. So if everyone takes out their phones, if you've got a phone, take out your phones, don't be shy, and drop a message, a WhatsApp, MMS, to your family member or friend, neighbor, for them to come into their local masjid. Whether they come or don't come, that's irrelevant. But you will get the reward for sending that message. So it'll only take 30 seconds. Just send them the poster, happening now at Al-Masjid Al-Quba. Whether they come or don't come, that's irrelevant. You've done your bit. And then after that, we say, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. The numbers are slightly less than what we normally have here at Masjid-e-Quba. So either some of the youngsters are waiting for the 5:30 kickoff, Arsenal versus Liverpool, and I suppose that's more of a priority for our youth, even though we find our Muslim brothers and sisters innocently losing their lives in Palestine. But priorities, right? Or others might be doing their last minute shopping. Aajkal yehi naya trend hai na. Muslims with Christmas trees and Turkey and presence on the 25th of December. And before somebody says, here he goes again, I'm not here to judge. But what's apparent is apparent. What's before you is before you. Khair. Before I get carried away, let's start. Introduction done. Our intentions have been made clear. Make yourselves comfortable. So here, I don't know if I can zoom in. Faisal Bhai? No. I don't think it's very clear. Kidhar chale gaye? I can't see a zoom in option. Page 1. Beginning of part 1. Signs of the last hour. So as I'm reading, you're following. Just as everything has an appointed lifespan. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلْ. And when that time is over, it will perish. In the same way, the dunya also has an appointed lifespan, which is only known by and decreed by Allah Almighty Jalla Wa'ala. So you and me, our time on this earth has been destined and decreed. How long we shall live for, what we will earn, whether we will be fortunate or unfortunate, whilst you and me were in the womb, the stomach of our mothers, all of these things were written by the angels, knowledge given to them by the Almighty Jalla Wa'ala, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So that's for you and me, infiradi tor. Lekin collectively, looking at the bigger picture, this dunya, this world, also has an appointed time. This dunya and everything in it is fani. We did this back in lecture 1. Whereas Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala is baqi. You remember these terms? Fani meaning temporary, baqi meaning permanent. Simple translations for you and me. And when this time is completed, the world will perish. Kullu man alayha fan. Allah Almighty says in Surah Ar-Rahman that everything on this earth will perish. The earth, skies, humans, animals, and all of creation will cease to exist. This is what we refer to and what is known as Qiyamah. What is it known as? So as we see, again going back to the individual, certain signs before a person's mouth and his demise, his visal, be it severe illness, the pangs of death, and the apparent state at the time of the soul exiting the body. Similarly, prior to the day of judgment, there are signs that mark its coming. So this is by way of introduction. And the knowledge of these signs, the ilm of these alamat, has come to us from Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala and His beloved Habib, Lajbal Nabi, Kareem Rasul, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this knowledge hasn't been plucked out of thin air. This knowledge isn't based upon stories that have been passed down from generation to generation. Rather, this knowledge of the signs of the hour, which is our first discussion here, this knowledge is from Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala and from Rasul Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is the first thing that you're going to write down now. If knowledge is from Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala by way of ayat-i-muqaddasat from Al-Quran Al-Kareem, then that knowledge is what we refer to as definitive, qat'i. Those of you who are writing, write the term down. The knowledge of the Quran is qat'i, Q-A-T-I, with an apostrophe after the Q. Qat'i, if you can't write it in the Arabic, write the English definitive knowledge. Which means what? And this will not only benefit you in the discussion that we're having today, but it will keep you in good stead for the rest of your lives. The knowledge of the Quran is what? Qat'i, it is definitive. So much so, that if anyone rejects or misinterprets or misunderstands any one verse of the Quran, then that person is out of the folds of Islam. This is what we call qat'i. It's definitive. Ruling on it, as we've just mentioned. The ruling is that if anyone rejects or denies, misinterprets or mistranslates, misunderstands any one verse of the Quran, 6,236 verses in the Quran, from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah An-Nas, that person is out of the folds of Islam, kana min al-kafirin, and that person is from amongst the disbelievers. These are rules, perimeters, boundaries, limits that have been put in place. When anyone can say anything about the Quran, and then they will say, oh, this is my opinion, ye meri rai hai, ye meri soch hai, ye meri tahqeeq hai. Acha, well, keep it to yourself. So this is what we call definitive knowledge. Al-ilm al-qat'i. Whereas with the ahadith mubarakah of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, there isn't that level of definitiveness. It's not classed as being qat'i, but rather is classed as being zanni. Again, those of you writing this down, this is just to expand upon this third paragraph or line. And that's the whole purpose of having a book within you and having a teacher to go through that book, that he opens the text for you, the ibadat for you. So this is for your knowledge. The difference between Quran and Hadith is what? Number one, first key difference is that the Quran's knowledge is definitive. It is qat'i. Whereas the knowledge from a hadith mubarakah, with the exception of hadith mutawatira, and I don't want to go too technical, but the knowledge of a hadith mubarakah, this is what? Zanni. What is it? Zanni. D-H-A-N-N-I. Zanni, yes? In English, non-definitive. Non-definitive. So this is the distinction between the knowledge of the Quran and the knowledge that has come to you and me through Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or ye bhi yaad rakho, I mentioned this back in February. But most of us are not blessed with probably good memories. Goldfish memories. Insan vaise comes from the root word nasiya. Nasiya means to forget. And it's important that we remind one another. Fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen. Yehi hai na, us ayat ka hissa. Reminders are beneficial for the believer. So we're reminding you that when it comes to the ahadith mubarakah, the prophetic sayings and narrations of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we do not doubt the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we're saying that is al-ilmu zanni, we're not saying that ma'adhallah, the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are non-definitive. No. Rather, because there is an entire understanding to every hadithi, what's known as a sanad, a chain. And that chain of transmission, such and such a person heard from such and such a person who heard from a sahabi who heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari records it, Imam Muslim records it, Imam Tirmizi records. The questions are raised upon the asanid, based upon the strength of them particular chains. But questions are never raised upon the actual words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you might say, where's the dalil? I will say Dalil is in the Quran, verses that you're familiar with, Surah number 53, verses 3 and 4. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That whenever the Prophet of Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala would speak, he would never speak out of his own desire, rather he would speak through direct revelation from Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. And this sets the tone. Because if somebody raises the question that, oh, this is just based upon what the Prophet ﷺ said. Acha? Then you just making that statement in itself, that raises a question. What we have today by way of the deen is because of Rasulullah ﷺ. Iman mila unke sadqe. Islam mila unke sadqe. Quran mila unke sadqe. Khud Rahman mila unke sadqe. Woh kya hai jo hume paya nahi? What is it that the Prophet ﷺ hasn't given you and me? This is why our ulama write like Imam Rabbani Mujaddid Al-Fithani, Sheikh Ahmed Farooqi Asarhandi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi in the Al-Maktubah Sharif, that the only zariya, the only way to reach Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala is Rasulullah ﷺ. He is our gateway to Allah. He is the key to our success. And you've heard these points from me many times before. The previous Anbiya wal Mursaleen, they only heard that Allah Almighty is one. Yahi baat hai na? From Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam to Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. The last prophet to come before Amina Kalal Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. Kamo pesh 124,000 Anbiya. All of them heard that Allah Almighty is one. Did any of them see Allah? Bolo na. Did Adam al-Islam see Allah? Yes or no? Did Sheet al-Islam see Allah? Yes or no? Idris al-Islam see Allah? Yes or no? Nuh al-Islam see Allah? Yes or no? Shu'aib al-Islam see Allah? Yes or no? One prophet asked to see, what was his name? The Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Allah Almighty says what? Quran mein hai na? Lan tarani. O Musa, you shall not see me. Why? Because this right was reserved for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw Allah Almighty in the most beautiful form with the physical eyes of his blessed head. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدَنَا فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. This is just an expansion on the discussion. And then he came down from the heavens and told you and me, no doubt Allah Almighty is one. I have seen that He is one. And you and me, bin deke bagair, without having seen Allah Almighty, we also believe that He is one. Why? Because Rasulullah told us. You see how crucial Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is to our lives? How central He is to our Iman, our Islam? But you'll find certain individuals from certain groups and sects will try to take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of the equation. Nahi bas ye namaz padhna kafi hai, roza rakhna bas ye itna hi hai, give your zakat and perform your hajj. No, we said that these things are secondary. Primary for you and me is our rishta, our nisbat, our ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was expanding upon this particular point. And then you can see here, before we mention the ayat of the Quran, that this knowledge is undeniable. And overall, the knowledge of the signs of the hour is undeniable. And then we've mentioned here, one verse of the Quran, as you can see, and the verses in the of the Quran here in the book, they are in blue. So the opening verse that we mentioned here, and this again, to keep the book concise, to keep the discussions brief, is just to give you one yani jalak, one tajalli, one yani verse, one hadith sharif, one saying of the scholars, in order to keep it concise. So the verse here is from Suratul A'raf. Suratul Yas'alunaka 'ani sa'ati ayyana mursaha. Many verses can be mentioned and can be shared with you. But here, verse number 187, they ask you, they, Mushrikeen Makkah, ask you, yani you referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The dhamir here, Rajit to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, They ask you about what? Anisa'ati. They ask you about the hour. So my youngsters in particular who are in attendance, and well done for sacrificing your Saturday afternoon, going into evening, and sitting in the best of places, the house of Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. Credit goes to you, credit goes to your parents. Understand and know here in light of this verse of the Quran, that asking questions about the hour, this isn't something which is, that we are deterred from asking, that we should remain silent upon. Rather, having knowledge and asking questions regarding the hour, this is something which is encouraged in light of this verse of the Quran. Are we understanding? So you being here today is in reality doing amal upon this ayat of the Quran. That they ask you about the hour, when is its arrival? Qul say that its knowledge is only with my Lord. This does not negate the fact that Allah Almighty can give this knowledge to His chosen servants. Waqt ko need to open the entire discussion. But some people will say, oh, that's it, faqat, Allah Almighty only has this knowledge. Allah Almighty can give this knowledge to whomsoever He wills, to whomsoever He chooses. And no doubt Allah Almighty gave this knowledge of the hour, when the hour will occur, the signs of the hour to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in the very next point here, after the ayat of the Quran, which you can see there, we mention a hadith sharif from Bukhari with references as well. This narration where it says, our master, Sayyiduna Umar, Sayyiduna meaning our master. So we've translated it here in this version of the book as our master, Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He narrates, and this narration you'll find in Sahih al-Bukhari, Baqaida hadith sharif number 3192, that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama stood amongst the noble companions. Today they doubt the knowledge of the unseen, the ilm al-ghayb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. The very same people who read Bukhari but unfortunately don't understand what they read. This is Bukhari as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day stood amongst the noble companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to mention and inform the companions about everything that happened from the beginning of creation. فَأَخْبَرَنَا عَنْ بَدْءِ الْخَلْقِ حَتَّى دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started mentioning everything from the beginning of creation up until the last person enters Jannah and the last person enters Jahannam. Hafiza dhalika man hafizahu wa nasiyahu man nasiyahu. And whosoever from amongst the companions remembered, they remembered. And whosoever from amongst the companions forgot, they forgot. Within that guftagu and discussion in one majlis, no doubt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have mentioned to the companions the signs of the hour. The signs of the, if you speak, then I know that you're with me and you're listening. The signs of the hour. So this knowledge has been given to you and me, has come to us through the Quran, like in the verse that we've cited by way of discussion, and through Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it goes without saying, aql dictates, which is supported by yani ilm as well, that if the one who had told you and me about the signs of what will occur, then surely he also has knowledge of when it will occur as well. Both go hand in hand, right? Isn't it the Prophet ﷺ who told us that the trumpet will be blown on a Friday? Isn't it the Prophet ﷺ who told us that the trumpet will be blown on the 10th? Isn't it the Prophet ﷺ who told us that the trumpet will be blown in the month of Muharram? And the only thing he didn't tell you and me was the year. For had he told you and me the year, let's say for the purpose of discussion 2050, then up until 2049, you and me would have been, just as aapni Punjabi, which kind of moja maane. We would have been chilling, relaxing, flexing up until 2049 for the purpose of discussion. Why? Because next year, 2050, the trumpet will be blown. Then start doing tawbah. Huh? There is reasons. There are prophetic wisdoms. But you see, there is always two ways of looking at things. You find some who will look at these type of narrations, these types of narration, and then they will look to lower the status of the Prophet ﷺ. Though in reality they can't, because Allah Almighty has raised his maqam wa martaba. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have raised for you your remembrance. Or ye maadi hai na? This is not something which is happening or is going to happen. This has always happened. But Allah Almighty has always raised the remembrance of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So either you look at it from a negative perspective and angle, or you look at it from a positive perspective and angle. Wohi baat hai na, that one Sunni alim was going to do munazra with one ghair Sunni alim. And all night they were preparing for the munazra, which was going to be the following day. Munazra meaning debate. So when they get together, the whole village gets together. The Sunni alim says that before we begin, I would like to say something. So he begins to address the audience. He says that I've spent all night going through Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawud Sharif and Ibn Majah and so on and so forth, Qutubul Ahadith Mubarakah, and going through the Quran and the Aqwal and the sayings and the books of our Akabirin, looking for those verses and Ahadith and Aqwal which allow me to establish the status of the Prophet ﷺ. Whereas my opponent, he spent the whole night looking through the very same things to look to lower the status of the Prophet ﷺ. So when the audience heard this, they said, that's it, munazra over. Munazra over, yaar. That you use the very same Quran that the Prophet ﷺ has given to us, the very same ahadith mubarakah of Lajpal Nabi Kareem Rasool, and you use the books and the sayings of the Warithin of the Anbiya against the Prophet ﷺ. Defies logic, defies understanding, and goes and contradicts against all levels of loyalty and wafa. Arey, jis nabi ka kalma parna, kam az kam us nabi ke saath koi na koi wafa hai. Lekin unfortunately, and again I'll make this clear, as I've done in previous years, we do not say that the Prophet ﷺ is God, nor do we say he's the son of God. This is one extreme that the Nasara went to with Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. But we don't go to the other extreme and say that Oji hamare jaise hain, that the Prophet ﷺ is just a man like us. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is rahmatan lil alameen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is khatamun nabiyyin. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is shafi'ul muznibin. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is wajhu takhliq e kainat. Wo jo na the to kuch na tha. Wo jo na ho to kuch na ho. Jaan hai wo jahan ki. Jaan hai to jahan hai. Everything is for and everything is about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we've mentioned here ibarat from Al-Aqidatu Tuhawiyya, which is an accepted text of Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tuhawi rahimahullah ta'ala, who passed away in the year 321 after Hijrah. And they write from amongst the Nuqat that they mention that we believe in the signs of the last hour, such as the emergence of Dajjal and the descent of Isa ibn Maryam from the minas samai, from the heavens. And we believe in the rising of the sun from the place that it sets. And we believe in the emergence of the beast of the earth from its place. So we have one verse from the Quran, one hadith shri from Bukhari, and one section of the matan of Al-Aqidatul Tuhawiyya to give us this firm understanding that this knowledge is undeniable. But today we have certain preachers and speakers who are sitting on YouTube, who are sitting on social media, and saying that it's more likely that Santa Claus will come than Isa al-Islam will descend from the heavens. Who he is, where he is, don't worry, don't stress about it. Ye maulvi na kaam hai. Lekin yes, and they portray themselves as Maliki, and they portray themselves as Sunnis, confusing the masses. This knowledge in relation to the signs of the hour, this knowledge is undeniable. This is the point that we're trying to illustrate, and it has been the case for the last 20 minutes or so. After this introduction, we move on to the next part of the discussion. that the signs of the hour are divided into how many types? I can't hear you. I think I must be losing my hearing. Huh? How many types? Two types. And there's a reason why I ask you to repeat. Al-ilmu bit-takrar. Knowledge is retained by way of repetition. You can read it. You can write it. But there is nothing compared to, or that is nothing compared to repeating it. So the signs of the last hour are divided into two types. Number one, as you can see, is a sughra with a swad, right? Sughra meaning minor signs. Hence why I mentioned at the beginning, al-alamat sughra. Alamat, signs. Sughra, minor. And the second type is what? Kubra. Al-alamatul kubra. The major signs of the hour. So to conclude this introduction, bottom of page one, that the minor signs are general descriptions that are more open to interpretation, whereas the major signs are definitive events that will occur. Belief in these signs is a part of Iman. This is why, again, I applaud you for you guys taking your time out, coming into the masjid to learn about these things. Zahir Gala, one can only know when one seeks knowledge. Though this is becoming a rare commodity in the day and age that we live in. Certainly post-COVID, you would have felt it here. Masjid Quba, one of the most thriving Sunni masjids in the whole of the South, I would say. And this is no criticism on anyone, but I would say that this is the lowest attendance that I've had in nearly 10 years. Dynamics have changed. Goalposts have been moved. Everything now is readily available at our fingertips. But we can't verify the sources and the people who are speaking so much so that our youngsters, our children now are lending their ears to these deviant speakers and preachers. And before you know it, they have a distorted version of Deen and Islam. You know exactly what I'm alluding to. And if you don't, then I will fill in the gaps and fill in the blanks during the break for you. Feel free to approach me. This is why as parents we need to be careful who our children are listening to. In this day of social media and information overload. Khair. So the one who denies these signs. Agli jumle par gaur karo. The one who denies these signs will leave the fold of Islam. So ye mera kehna nahi. Ye na samjho Imam sahab has always extreme... as they come, nahi yaar, ulama have said and written this. Our deen is not a joke that you think you can say what you want and believe in what you want, and there's no verification for it, there is no authenticity. I believe this. Who are you? What's your background? What are your qualifications? What aspect of the deen have you studied? And then when my man starts to open up, he says, oh no, I've heard this through a speaker on YouTube. I've read this in an article on Google. Or I've read this and come across my opinion in a post on Facebook or Instagram, is it? Is that sufficient? Certainly isn't. But again, you'll be able to relate to this. You might have people within your own families, amongst your friends, within your inner circle. Doesn't matter how much evidence from the Quran and Sunnah and from the books of our Akabirin you put in front of them. Summum bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un. Allah Almighty guide us all to the truth. So knowing the signs of the hour, what they entail, and understanding how to react in such times is one of the dimensions of Islam. This is exactly what we're alluding to. This is the whole purpose of initiating yet again another nationwide tour, alhamdulillah. 24 cities over the next 3 months, with today being the first one. Tomorrow we're in Chesham, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, after Salatul Zuhar prayer. Monday we're in Banbury. Tuesday, Victoria Park Masjid in Manchester. Wednesday in Greenwich. Next Saturday in Cradley Heath in the Midlands. Next Sunday in Telford. with Hassan Jabbar. That's probably giving you shivers down your back, huh, Junaid? The name itself. Or Istri Canal on the 1st of January, we'll be in Alam Rock. First weekend in January, inshallah, Scotland. And like this, every Saturday, Sunday, up until just before Mahir Ramadan. Concluding on the 3rd of March in Peterborough. With this intention and with these clear objectives, that we give this knowledge of the signs of the hour and knowledge and belief in relation to the Day of Judgment and life after death to our brothers and sisters. And you can't beat this way of learning and sitting and engaging with a teacher, with a scholar. Though I don't consider myself at that level, but I'm just saying generally. So in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a series of questions. Some of you will be familiar with this famous narration known as hadith of Jibreel. That akhbirni anil islam, akhbirni anil iman, akhbirni anil ihsan. And then also, when is the hour? You'll find this narration in many books of ahadith mubarakah, like here in famously Kitab al-Arba'een of Imam Abu Zakariya al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So Jibreel asked this question, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ, that when will the hour occur? So we've already illustrated this point, that sitting and talking about the hour, this is in light of the ta'limat of Quran and Sunnah. So commenting on this final question, the Prophet ﷺ remarked that he only had as much knowledge of his exact time as Jibreel did. So Jibreel alayhi salam then asked him about its signs, to which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a succinct answer that presented some signs from which to be on guard from. And this is where now we move into the next part of our discussion, page 2. Signs of the last hour, and in particular the minor signs. And if you flick through, albatta you don't need to flick far. Here, if you glance onto the bottom of page 3, how many signs have we mentioned in total? 30. Though our ulama have documented over 60 minor signs of the last hour. And as you can see from the opening line on the top of page 2, some of these signs have happened. Some are occurring as we gather here in the masjid. And some, albeit a handful, are still to take place. And one of the greatest signs of the hour is the physical veiling of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this mundane world. So you will be familiar with Surah Al-Qamar and the opening verse, Iqtarabati sa'atu wan shaqqal qamar. Right? That Allah Almighty says, the hour is near. The hour is... I think I've reached my limit with these students. Thak again, huh? You are tired? Speak, yaar. The hour is... The hour is near. Who is saying this? Allah in the Quran, Surah Al-Qamar. The hour is near and the moon has been split. So then write it down. Also from amongst the minor signs of the last hour was the moon being split into two. And that very same moon being put back together again. By who? By Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So write it down. I've deliberately left it out so then you guys can do some work as well. These are your additional notes, be it you write it in the book, be it you write it in your own notebooks, be it you write it on your phones, whatever's easy for you, or be it you don't write it at all. Each one to their own. So another sign of the hour which has occurred is the splitting of the moon into two. Surah Al-Qamar, which is chapter number 50, where are we? 54, by way of reference, chapter number 54, verse number 1. Right? And this is why in that narration, just come of whom, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Bila Tashbih Wa Tamthil put his two fingers together like this, of the right hand. The index finger and the finger next to it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my leaving this dunya and the hour being established will be like this. Is there any gap, any space between the fingers? No. So we're now in the year 1445 after Hijrah. Some ulama have predicted that 1500 after Hijrah, khalas. Some ulama. Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam bisawab. And then within these, or within this discussion, we have the minor signs that we've listed here that you find across pages 2 and 3. Let's go through them one by one. Are we ready? Number one, a slave girl would give birth to her master. This has many possible interpretations. Footnote number two. Sorry, my bad. Footnote number three. And you would have thought I wrote the book, huh? Footnote number three. One interpretation of this minor sign of the hour is that it refers to widespread abuse of parents and a neglect of their rights. Allahu Akbar. Isn't this what we're seeing now? We can blame society, we can blame social media, we can blame X, Y, and Z. But there is no running away from the fact that this is from amongst the signs of the last hour. That sadly and unfortunately we find children today verbally insulting and physically abusing their parents, mother and father. You might say, I've not heard anything. Maybe you need to get out a bit more then. Sad unfortunately is happening now in Muslim homes. We've heard stories with our own ears of how Muslim youngsters, the sons and or the daughters, are placing their parents into retirement homes, placing their parents into old people's homes simply because they can't take care of them. They can't look after them. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. This is why, my dear brothers and sisters, youngsters in particular, no one has a greater right over you and me than our mother and father. You know that narration, right? When the Sahabi came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked, that Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habibullah, who has the greatest right over me? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi didn't say your wife. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi didn't say your friends. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? Ummuka, your mother. Thumma, then what? Then who, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Yeh hadith shreef hai na? Ek toh na hum qaulu gal karne hai ji, sirf ek agenda pura karne waste. No, yaar. This is why you and me need to go back to Quran and Sunnah. This is how we take ourselves out of the root that we are in. Is that the right word? Root? Root? Your mother. Third time, your mother. Fourth time, Abuka, your father. And then, wo mukhtalif riwayat mein, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your relatives, and your father's siblings, you respect and honor them, fulfill their rights. Your mother's siblings, yani your masi, your whoever it may, you respect and fulfill their rights. Wife comes at the bottom. In terms of the tarteeb, the ordering within Islam, whose rights should be fulfilled first? Wife's rights, children's rights, they come later. Mother's rights, father's rights, they come first. Lekin how is it now in the society that we live in? Ulta hai na? Opposite. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. And by Allah, this is not to have a go at anyone. Open your eyes. Our salvation lies in following the Quran and Sunnah. Our success in deen, dunya and akhirah lies in following Quran and Sunnah. They are our blueprint, our roadmap to our success. But unfortunately, we pick and choose of the Quran and Sunnah what suits us. We will leave and abandon what doesn't suit us. You only have to look at the way we conduct our weddings. I don't know about you guys here in the South, but certainly in Rajasthan, where I'm from, these things are out of control. Bagharati or behayai or besharmi, openly mixing men and women freely mixing amongst themselves, and all of this will come. Number two, barefooted, naked, and destitute shepherds will compete in the construction of tall buildings. We're seeing this. And you only have to go through this list and say, oh yeah, this one makes sense because we're seeing it. This one makes sense because we're witnessing it. I've only just come back from Haramain Sharifain, alhamdulillah. After 6 years, Bulawa once again, 10 days with a group of 19 of us, three families including my own. And now, as we were coming into the vicinity of Makkatul Mukarrama from Jeddah, when before it used to be that you would know that you are in Makkah Shri because of a certain building, now all you have to do is look at from a distance the clock tower. And that's it. We climbed Jabal Nur, got right to the top where Ghar-e Hira is. You look around and the eyes foreign glance upon the clock tower. Abhi, at the moment, from what I've heard, the Saudis have intention to make a building even taller than that in Makkatul Mukarrama. And you might say, have they not read these narrations? Lekin again, khatam Allahu ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim wa ala abswarihim ghishawatun wa lahum azabun azim. Just by merely reading the kalma, that doesn't make you a believer. This is where iman comes from. Iqrarun bil lisani wa tasdiqun bil qalb. Number three, there will be an increase in earthquakes, calamities, and natural disasters. Again, another one we can tick off. We're seeing this, we're witnessing this. They were saying that Imam Sahib, even my wife was saying that don't make the journey, there's a storm coming. What is it called? Storm? Somebody said yesterday to me after Juma, Imam Sahib, we can't pronounce it, so we're calling it Storm PIA. Acha, main chalo. Aapki asani ke liye. But these natural calamities and disasters are taking place. Number four, again, another one we can tick off and relate with. There will be an increase in illnesses that were not known to previous people. Ebola, Corona, cancer, AIDS, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the last two that I've just mentioned, unheard of, now common. And we find Muslims, I say this because there's a concern on my health as well, high cholesterol levels and high blood pressure. And we're not careful in regards to what we eat. What we eat is all artificial. What we eat is processed food. Our elders, why is it, mashallah, that they generally tend to live longer lives? Because they've looked after their bodies. This body, this jism is an amanat from Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. You'll be asked about this amanat on the day of Qiyamah. But many of us are abusing the bodies, this gift from Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. Number five, people will appear claiming to be prophets. Cast your eyes upon footnote number 4 at the bottom of page 2 here. Hazrat Thawban radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates Abu Dawud Sharif ki riwayat. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi said, indeed, Allah Almighty has folded the earth for me and has shown me its west and has shown me its east. Our Prophet is Hazir and Nazir. Nabi sallallahu alaihi said in that very same narration, there will be 30 deceitful liars. How many? 30 deceitful liars amongst my community. Each one of them will consider himself to be a prophet. Lekin Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ana khatamun nabiyyin, la nabiyya ba'dahu. I am the seal of the prophets, and there is no prophet after me. Nabi Salatu Wasalam is the last and final messenger and prophet of Allah. No other messenger and prophet will come after him. But this is a fitna. And we're seeing this on our doorsteps now. I was in Holland, back end of September. 4 days in Amsterdam. We also went to Den Haag, what we refer to as The Hague. Masjid Nur al-Islam. And the third city that I visit was Almere, 45 minutes outside of Amsterdam. Long story short, the biggest Qadiani center in the whole of Europe is in Almere. We don't call it a masjid. That place where the ayat ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum walakin rasulullahi wa khataman nabiyyin is not recited, that place cannot be a masjid. Two-story building. And outside the building, look at the dhoka and fareb and the deception. They write the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Pakistani community there were telling me, after lengthy discussions with them on that Saturday afternoon, they said, Imam Sahib, the Turks and the Moroccans from their community, they go to that place and they worship and do their namaz there and their salah there. And then when we grip them and ask them, why did you go there? They're Qadianis. The Turks and the Moroccans, they turn around and say, what's Qadianis? 30 million Qadianis at this moment in time worldwide. 25,000 here in the United Kingdom. But our people are oblivious. This is happening on our doorsteps. And if somebody says, oh, what's your issue and problem? Live and let live. They don't have any right to live. Those who deny the finality of the prophethood of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam have no right to live. Aur ye jazbaat ke jumle nahi. You tell me, if somebody does inkar of aqidah khatme nabuwat, then what rights does that person have? Aur ye mere jazbaat ke jumle nahi. Constitution of Government of Pakistan in September 1974 declared Qadiani as kafir. Maulana Shah Ahmad Nurani Siddiqui Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, Qaid Millat Islamiya, Maulana Abdul Sattar Khan Niyazi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, and many others who led this charge and movement to declare the Qadiani as kafir. But today we find the very same government of that, well, the very same country whose government is saying that is perfectly fine for Qadianis to be from amongst us. Open your eyes. And by Allah, I've been saying this for a number of years. I've got myself into a lot of bother and trouble for it as well. Alhamdulillah. But ye meri baat likhi gano, that our next generation, the generation after them, will be affected by this fitna of the Qadian, just like our previous generations. Wo raat din mehnat karne. Whereas you and me, as Sunnis, well, our weaknesses everyone is aware of. Without going into too much detail, I think. Number six here. Nabi Salatu Wasalam said, أَنْ يَثْبُتَ الْجَهْلُ. There is a rise in compounded ignorance. What does this mean? This means that many of us are ignorant of the fact that we are ignorant. Or again, this is not me saying this. I think one of the reasons why we've got such a low attendance is they probably saw the name on the post and said, oh, we're not going to sit in his lecture again. Imam Sahib's too extreme for us. Hardcore. Achcha. Toh koi lissa lora na fir. This is happening now. Compounded ignorance. Haji Sahib. This is not how you read your salah. You're making a mistake here. This is not how you do wudu. This is how you should do it. Haji Sahib will turn around and say, don't you know that I've been reading Salah for 40 years? Some of you are smiling. Maybe I've come across such Haji Sahibs that I've stereotyped. Jahalat ki intiha hai na? If somebody of knowledge is saying that, look, it shouldn't be like this, it should be like this. Like, case in point here. When we say, no, these are our beliefs, those are not our beliefs. People say, oh, you've got an issue, you've got a problem. You like to cause problems. Oh, yeah. Hosh karo. اپنا دماغ استعمال کرو لیکن نہیں compounded ignorance. Picking up the speed, number 7, the knowledge of Islam will be veiled from amongst the minor signs of the hour. The knowledge of Islam will be veiled. What does this mean? This means that the righteous, God-fearing ulama, they will leave this dunya. And we've seen this in our lifetime. Huzur Taju Sharia, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, we were speaking about this last night in Halifax. Sayyid Turabul Haq Shah Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Allama Khadim Hussein Rizvi, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, in our lifetime. And then the Akabirin and elders before them, some that I've just mentioned, Maulana Shah Manurani Siddiqui, Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Abdul Sattar Khan Niazi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayh, Huzur Ghazali Zaman, Sayyid Ahmed, Yani Ghazmi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayh. And our youngsters who are sat here at the front probably won't even know who I'm talking about. But yeh hamara kasoor hai na? These are those ulama who came after Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, after Tajdar-e Golra Sharif. And ignorant people will become religious leaders. And again, I've alluded to this. TikTok and Instagram and Facebook is full of these juhala. And you might say, what gives you the right to call them ignorant? I say, as soon as they begin to insult or criticize the Prophet ﷺ, his companions, his family members, that's it. That person cannot be trusted any longer. And some of them have made a living out of this, a profession out of this. It is from amongst their beliefs, like what we were alluding to yesterday at Jumu'ah. Certain individuals, again without naming or shaming, whom Aadallah believe that the Prophet ﷺ was misguided before Ilan Nabuwat or Risalat. In light of the interpretation of the verse, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And they use the words Ma'adallah Gumra in their translations. Even though our Aqidah is what? That when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Mata wajabat lakan nubuwa, Jami'u Tirmizi Sharif ki riwayat, that, O Prophet of Allah, tell us, when was prophethood decreed upon you? What did Nabi ﷺ say? Kuntu nabiyyan wa adamu bayna ruhi wal jasad, that I was a prophet when Adam was between spirit and body. Subhanallah. Number 8, modesty and morality will disintegrate and wine and drinking alcohol will be widespread. Do we not see this today? More youngsters, Muslim youth in the clubs and pubs and shisha lounges than in the houses of Allah Almighty Jalla Wa'ala. Present company excluded. Allahu Akbar. Do we not see this today? Beghairati and behayai on these social media apps. Our daughters, our sisters, prostituting themselves on TikTok. Might be a strong word. But please, guide me if I should use something lighter than that. And you might say, it's not my daughter, it's not my sister. Aita masla na yaar. Everybody's thinking about themselves, me, myself, and I. But the Prophet ﷺ said, this ummah, it's about the we. Jasad-e wahid, one body. When any part of that body is affected, the whole body is in pain. For a few weeks, since the 7th of October, we find that people were on the streets protesting for the rights of the Palestinians to end the atrocities, the genocide, the brutality. Today, 23rd of December, where are those protests? Are they not still suffering? But this is human nature, isn't it? You might say, we're still making dua for them. Cholo yaar, you're making dua for them. But why are you not changing yourselves? The liberator of Al-Quds, the conqueror of Jerusalem, Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala, has a very beautiful saying attributed to him. If you so wish, you can write it down. That if you wish to destroy a nation without going to war against them, then make nudity and immorality common amongst the people. Don't we see this now? pornography, masturbation, these illnesses and vices which are rife amongst our youth. And you might say, Imam Sahib, ye masjid hai, masjid ka taqaza bhi hai. You want us to talk about this in Hyde Park? Where else are you going to have these discussions? Perfectly fine now and accepted by most parents to send your children to primary schools where their minds are being polluted with this such filth. But if Maulvi Sahib just mentions the word, then everybody gets their jubba in a twist. Who else is going to talk about it? Now 5, 6, 7 year olds being taught about penetration and masturbation and all these things. What are we as parents doing to combat that? This whole ideology of the LGBTQ plus ABCD, whatever they call themselves nowadays. All of this from amongst the signs of the hour? Yes, no doubt. We mentioned this is coming later. Where number 26, page 3, women will dress and appear like men. Men will dress and appear like women. But again, we can't have a defeatist attitude and say, oh, Basji, these are the signs of the hour. What can we do? I've given you the solution. I'll repeat it again. If you so wish and you've still got the energy, write it down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I've left you two things. If you hold on to them firmly, you will never go astray. Number one is the book of Allah. Number two is the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I speak generally here, 2 billion Muslims around the world. If we were to look at it proportionally, many of us have abandoned the Quran. Many of us have forsaken the Sunnah. Sunnah isn't just growing the beard. That's the easy part. Sunnah is not just about wearing the Imama Sharif. That's the easy part. Sunnahs of the Prophet isn't a checklist. Tick, 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 tick. No, Sunnah is a complete way of life. Sunnah refers to your character, your conduct, how you are with Muslims and non-Muslims, how you are with family members and friends, and how you are towards your enemies as well. But we'll only give salam to those people who we know, right? Wanna, each one to their own. Even though the Prophet said, Afshu salam, spread salam amongst yourselves. But if we see someone who we even know now, we'll walk the other side of the road. In our amne samne, we have to give salam to them. Right? Wrong? Allahu Akbar. Number 9, fornication and adultery will be committed openly. And again, I'm cautious of the fact that we have under 16s here, but I've already justified my approach. Like it or lump it. That we live in a day and society where what? Committing zina, adultery is cheaper than performing nikah. Yes, no? Oh, bolo tesi. Sare prashan nazar aa rahe ho. We live in a society now where it's cheaper to commit zina than to perform nikah. One of the committee members rang me 2 nights ago. 3 missed calls. May Allah khair. 4th one I answered. It was Imam Sahab. Boy and girl, they've done what they've done. Girl is now pregnant. Then can you read their nikah? And then his words, committee member. His words go that, will that make the situation all right? Shabash. Yes, young man. Nikah is marriage. And nikahu min sunnati. Faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. The Prophet said, marriage, wedlock is from my sunnah. Whosoever rejects my sunnah is not from me. Today we find our brothers, late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, still walking around, single, ready to mingle. And now not only our brothers, but our sisters as well. Our sisters, our daughters, and I generalize here. Again, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. Ye mera ek apna andaze bayan hai, aadat hai. Those of you who know. Those of you who don't, I'm sure you're becoming familiar with it. Number 10, we're all experiencing this, the swift passing of time. Look at that. Exactly 1 hour since we started. Swift passing of time. so closer to the day of judgment, middle of page 2. Time will pass very quickly, that a year will feel like a month like a week like a day. There'll be no blessings left in time. Barakat will be taken out of time. You might say it's still the same 24 hours, 365 days in the year, 168 hours in the week. But the blessings will be taken out of time. Isn't this why Allah Almighty takes an oath by time in the Quran, the surah you're familiar with, Wal Asr, Innal Insana Lafi Khusr. By the time, the Almighty Jalla Wa'ala takes qasam, by the time, indeed man is in loss. Insan khasare mein hai. Illa alladhina amanu wa'amilu salihat وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah Almighty didn't say that indeed man is in loss except for those who earn and drive a nice car and live in a big house. No. Allah Almighty says indeed man is in loss except for those who believe, those who do good deeds, those who practice patience, those who uphold the truth. Can we say we are one of them four types of people? New Year's on the horizon where everybody makes their resolutions. Most of us said that we're going to hit the gym, lose a bit of calories, lose a few pounds here, there and everywhere. Make this your New Year's resolution. That you're going to be that individual who makes his aqidah pukhta. You're going to become that person who spends his days and nights doing as many good deeds, because you don't know which deed is going to be accepted by Allah Almighty Jalla Wa'ala. And you're going to become that person, make your resolution, who's going to speak the truth, uphold the truth, and promote the truth. And number four, make it your resolution that you're going to be that person who's going to adopt patience. Say inshallah. And patience, my dear brothers and sisters. Sisters are here. Am I addressing them as well? MashaAllah. Patience is not that you changa gussa kar dete hain, pande pandite fir chup chute bhi jata ho ji, sabr hai sabr le. In English, that you start breaking the dishes and you start smashing everything open, then you cool down and then you sit down and you say, oh, I didn't do anything. Innama sabru inda sadmatil ula. The Prophet ﷺ said, patience is at the beginning of the tribulation. Patience is at the beginning of the tribulation. Number 13, disgraceful and sinful people will become chiefs and leaders of nations. Look no further than Mulk-e-Pakistan. Those who are Pakistani here, you will understand what I'm talking about. And even Ghair-Pakistani know what's happening in our country. An embarrassment at this moment in time. Number 12, an increase in murder and oppression such that the one killed will not know why they have been killed. Isn't that the case? Knife crime on our streets? Gang warfare or gang culture? Postcode wars? Muslim youth now. Common here in East London, right? Something that you can relate to. Yes, from amongst the signs of the hour. But again, don't be defeatist. Don't say, oh, what can we do? It is what it is. Somebody's got to make a stance. Somebody's got to take a stance. Allahu Akbar. Number 13. A person will be respected in fear of his evil. Isn't this the case? The drug dealers are glorified in our communities. You'll find that their janazas are well attended because they are feared. And those who are earning rizqi halal, even though the Prophet said, Al-Qasibu Habibullah, the one who earns rizqi halal is the beloved of Allah Almighty. And I've written here, bottom of page 2, that there will come a time from amongst the signs of the last hour, there will come a time when a man does not care how he earns his wealth, whether it comes from halal or whether it comes from haram source. Isn't that the day and age that we live in now? حلال و حرام کی پہچان بھی کو نہیں. We've already alluded to number 14, that a person will be obedient to his wife and friends and will disobey his parents. The wife is given more priority. The children are given more priority. Whereas our mother and father, we will disregard. We'll put our parents into retirement homes. And you might say, this doesn't apply to us. Good. I'm happy to hear that it doesn't apply to you. But once you leave this gathering, then you are a mouthpiece. Wherever you go, you should raise your voices. If you see atrocities happening in your homes, if you see atrocities happening in your community, don't choose to remain silent. Rather, come as come, you should speak up and say what is wrong is wrong. But today we see that people choose to remain silent. It's the easier option. Number 15, immorality will become so prominent that people will become naked like donkeys. Number 16, women will wear such clothing that it will be as if they are naked. Such women will not enter paradise. We've got this feminism or genderism movement. Me too ki tamaro goli. Is the one in Pakistan that we're more concerned about. Mera jism, meri marzi. Slogans from liberal women who are saying that it's my body, my choice. And we see this mindset now amongst our sisters here in this country as well. And just before you think, sisters who are sat here, you know, by the break, end of break, and everybody goes. Imam Sahib is having a go at us. I'm a father of three daughters as well. By Allah, the earth below our feet, should I say, begins to shake when you look at what's happening in the community. This is why we've taken our daughters out of school, homeschooling them. It's better that they are reading their salah five times a day, as opposed to learning about Napoleon and World War I and maths, English and science. You might say, we don't have that choice. Allah Almighty make it easy for you. But your asal investment and dawlat is your children. But we find that our children are being wasted. Most of them are zombies, right? With the smartphones and PlayStation 5s and whatever else it may be. Wake up before it's too late. 17, we've already alluded to, top of page 3. 18, people will breach each other's trusts such that trustworthiness and fidelity will be lifted. In that time, the liar will be deemed truthful and the truthful will be regarded as a liar. As we were saying earlier on, everything's become upside down. Ulta ho gaya na. 19, we can relate to this. Firmness on the religion of Islam will be burdensome and difficult. And it will be as difficult as holding on to burning coal in one's hand. To such an extent that a person will go to a graveyard and wish that he was in the place of the deceased. We hear this sometimes, right? Aise jeene se maut behtar hai na? Allahu Akbar. We are no doubt living in the end of times. We are no doubt living in extremely difficult and testing times. My dear brothers and sisters, the solution was given to you and me 1400 years ago. And the solution is the Quran. And the solution is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's the verse of the Quran? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa. This is the solution. That, O believers, enter into the religion wholeheartedly. It's not a part-time occupation that you only become religious on a weekend or in the evenings. But when you're at work, you'll be from amongst those who are liars. You'll be from amongst those who do dhoka and fareb. You'll be from amongst those who increase the prices on your goods if you have a business. You'll be from amongst those who are deceptive and liars. I speak generally again before somebody gets their jubba in a twist. If this doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply. But this is now aksariyat. Majority this applies to. The bimani, fareb, dhoka we find amongst our Muslims now. And we find the traits that the Muslims should have, non-Muslims have them. The only difference between them and Jannat is them saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 20, there will be worldly talk and lots of noise in the masajid, the houses of Allah. You see this now. You would have seen clips on and videos on TikTok and social media of when police officers have come into the houses of Allah with their shoes on and with their dogs outside the masjid. I remember my first Jummah in Walthamstow. I don't need to mention the masjid, I hope. First Jummah, I think it was like a welcome party for me. That very same Jummah, police came into the masjid with their shoes on. I still have the video somewhere. This is what, 2013, first Jummah I did here? In Walthamstow, and Masjid-e Waisiqani, Ilford, 1 week here, 1 week there. Mawla-e Kainat, Mushkil Kusha, Sher-e Huda, Karram Allahu Ta'ala, Wajhul Kareem. They report that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a time is soon coming to mankind when nothing of Islam but its name will remain. My dear brothers and sisters, again, I spent 20 minutes at the beginning telling you that these are not made up stories. These are not fabrications that we've just, these are those narrations, and this is that knowledge which is undeniable. Sadaqta ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You spoke the truth, O Messenger of Allah. Isn't this the case today that many of us are just Muslims by name, not by nature? We're born into Muslim families. Do you know that since 2018, every year in this country, 10,000 Muslims leave Islam? Muslim Council of Britain statistic. Just in case you think Imam Sahib's waffling as usual. Nahi yaar. And you might say, so what, it doesn't affect me. As soon as you say, so what? The whole Muslim community should hang their head in shame even if one person leaves Islam. But we find that this is happening. Yes, there are many wujuhat and reasons for this. Many reasons for this. But nevertheless, in that very same narration, top of page 3, the writing in gold, is it? The Prophet ﷺ said, and only the written form of the Quran will remain. Only the written form of the Quran will remain. You'll find this narration in Mishkatul Masabih, Kitabul Ilm, by way of reference. And don't we see this today? I was in Holland when? September. Who put this guy next to me? Who nominated him to be next to me? You would have thought the guy next to me would know at least. September, I was in Holland. 2 weeks before I arrive in Holland, right-wing extremists burnt a copy of the Quran on the streets of Amsterdam. You might say, nothing new. We hear about this all the time. It's happened in Sweden. It's happened in Norway. It's happened in Finland. Wherever else it may be. But the shocking thing was what? When I arrived there, one of the Muslim journalists and newspaper reporters, he goes, Imam Sahib, it's been 2 weeks, not a single alim in the whole of Holland has actually spoken out and condemned what's happened. It's like they're afraid. Man, you're talking to the right person. Allahu Akbar. Nothing will remain of the Quran except its written form. From amongst the alamatu sa'a, the masajid will be in fine condition, but they will be devoid of guidance. We see this, right? Millions of pounds being spent on chandeliers and carpets, and I'm not necessarily talking about this masjid. Extension to our masajid. It's a priority, isn't it? If there's a couple of £100,000 in the bank balance, you'll find that the new committee, as soon as they come in, the first thing they will do is announce the extension to the Wuzukhana project. Yehi baat hai na? Investment in the people next to nothing. And I'm not talking about this masjid, by the way. What this masjid does for the youngsters, what this masjid does for our sisters, Alhamdulillah, I've already mentioned, it's setting a standard, not just in London, but around the country, by Allah. But I generalize my discussion here. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, learned men will be the worst people under the heavens. Learned men will be the worst people under the heavens. Corruption coming forth from them and returning among them. Allahu Akbar. And we see this today. Those of you who have interactions with ulama, huffaz-i-karam, qurra, natqan, learned men. The Prophet ﷺ told us over 1400 years ago that they're the worst of people under the heavens. Corruption will come from them, corruption will return to them. 21, page 3. There'll be more women than men, so that there'll be one man for 50 women. 22, false testimonies and a breaking of family ties and relations will be prominent. 23, there will be a great number of illegitimate offspring. 24, from amongst the minor signs of the last hour, people will take pride upon high and grand mansions. Even though Allah Almighty says in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 141, and waste not by extravagance. Verily, He does not like the al-musrifoon, those who waste by extravagance. On the way down here, one of the brothers rang me and said, my father-in-law spent £150,000 on building a house in Pakistan. We call it koti, huh? Well, I don't know about you, but Allahu Akbar. And I've already alluded to how we are wasting money on our weddings, the days of the wedding, or the days before and after. I don't know about your, without being rude, within the Pakistani community, we have this concept of mehndi, maniya, maraj banana, tel lana, first day, second day, third day, full week extravagance. Same with you guys? More or less. Allahu Akbar. Which way are we heading? Number 25, let's conclude the discussion. Men will stop wearing imama sharif upon their heads. Number 26, women will dress and appear like men. As we've already alluded to, men will dress and appear like women. 27, religious knowledge will be learnt not for the deen, but for worldly achievements. 28, the prevalence of reciters and the scarcity of fuqaha. Further to this, the appearance of reciters whose recitation does not pass their throats. 29, sudden death. Sudden death. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, one of the signs of the hour will be an increase of sudden death. And we all act shocked when we hear the news of such and such a person passes away. Oh, I used to go to school with him. Can't believe he's passed away. We mentioned right at the beginning of the discussion, kulli ummatin ajal. For every person there is an appointed time. Nobody lives a second longer. Number 30, to conclude the discussion, Islam will return to something strange and new, just as it had begun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, indeed, Islam began as something new and strange. And it shall return as it began, new and strange. So glad tidings be upon the strangers. Today is considered to be strange that we go into the masjid for a gathering of dhikr or a dars on a hadith mubarakah or dars-e Quran. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, glad tidings be upon the strangers. And then the section is concluded here with a few narrations. Hazrat Thauban radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that the people will soon summon one another to attack you, as people when eating invite others to share their dish. Someone asked, will that be because of our small numbers at that time? Top of page 5. Four. Top of page 4. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, you will be numerous at that time, 2 billion in number, but you will be the scum and rubbish like that carried down by a torrent. And Allah Almighty will take fear of you from the breasts of your enemy. And al-wahan will be placed into your hearts. Mal-wahanu. What is wahan, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi responded by saying, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That wahan is love of the world and a dislike of death. And isn't this what we find now? As I've already mentioned, on the 7th of October, when the recent atrocities by the Zionist government of Israel happened against those in Gaza, in Palestine, for the first couple of days, first couple of weeks, everybody on it, free, free Palestine, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be. Acha. Now, 23rd of December, how many of us are still talking about the issue? Over 20,000 Palestinians have been innocently martyred. Over 7,000 of them children. But we're tired now. We're fatigued of seeing this on our social media accounts. We just want to go back to our lives, like you hear some people saying. But the Palestinians are not tired. The Palestinians are not fatigued. That on one hand, their houses have been destroyed. Their children are being martyred. They are digging out bodies from under the rubble. But on the other hand, those very same Palestinians are saying, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. So where is our level of iman? Where is our level of iman? We conclude before the break here on this narration which we shared with you when we went through part 2 back in February. Some of you, like I mentioned, have goldfish memories. Hence why we've included it again here. This narration here you'll also find amongst the books of Ahadith Mubarakah here in Ash-Shifa, بِتَعْرِيفِ حُقُوقِ الْمُصْطَفَى صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. To conclude this section on the minor signs of the last hour, before we have our break and then Salatul Isha at 6:30, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was asked by an individual, a man, that مَتَ السَّاعَةُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. When will the hour occur? Nabi Sallallahu said what? That don't worry about when the hour will occur. لَكِنْ مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. What have you done to prepare for it? My brothers and sisters, after an hour and 20 minutes or so, the understanding that we gain in light of this narration is what? That yes, the hour being established is a reality that is undeniable. It's knowledge undeniable. But the question is that what have you done to prepare for it? So there's two types of as-sa'a. One is your own personal time when it will expire, and one is what we're talking about and referring to, which is when the world will end. So the reality is that before the second, the first will occur. So what have you done to prepare for your hour? Could be tonight, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next month, could be next year. Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Question again is, what have you done to prepare for your hour? What have you done to prepare for your death? Sahabi says what? Ma a'adadtu laha min kathiri salatin wala sawmin wala sadaqatin. Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habiballah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have not prepared much in terms of prayer or action. Who is saying this? Sahabi is saying this. Those who today pride themselves on the number of prayers that they've read, the number of umrahs that they performed, the number of gatherings that they attend. What muqabla do you and me have with a Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Absolutely no comparison can be made. Sahabi is saying this. And then he responds with his honest answer and says what? Walakinni uhibbu Allah wa rasulahu. I don't have much in terms of prayer. I don't have much in terms of charity. I don't have much in terms of fasting. However, I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? My last jumla before we go to I think it is the samosas. Anta ma'a man ahbabta. That you'll be with the one who you love. My brothers and sisters, my youngsters and elders, ask yourself, hand on heart, who do we love the most? Not by way of rhetoric. Woh har banda nara la na gulam ye rasool mein maut bhi qabool hai jo ho na ishq e mustafa to zindagi fazool hai acha aur fajr ke waqt you snoring away ha truly hand on heart do we love the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allahu akbar al mar'u ma'a man ahabba a person will be with the one who he loves we're going to have a nice break now Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, slightly behind schedule, but not the end of the world. Pardon the pun. Yes? Enjoy your samosa, chaat, whatever it may be. The kids can go into the back. You've been appointed to take the VIP slots, chosen. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, those who need to make fresh ablution, please do so. I hope you will all stay till the end. I hope you're benefiting and learning. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, there is still time to call your family members and friends. Nevertheless, Adhan will be at 7:15. Jamaat will be at 7:30. We will reconvene at 7:45. We're here with you till 8:30 at the very latest. That's when we will look to make the dua. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we'll go through the major signs after Salatul Isha. We'll complete part one and then we'll go on to part two and then towards the end, of course, part three. Jazakumullah khair. Stay blessed. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. The youngsters, please make your way towards the back, as I've already asked. Move your benches to the side, of course. Elders, are staying here or going upstairs? Benches on the side.